And now some important words from our compliance department.
David Holland is an investment advisor representative of Holland Advisory Services, an investment advisory firm registered with the Securities and Exchange Commission. He also offers insurance and annuity products through Holland Insurance Services. Holland Advisory and Holland Insurance Services are separate affiliated companies that share common ownership under Holland Financial. The views and advice expressed by David Holland and guests are general in nature. No statements or opinions given during this radio program are to be considered investment, insurance, tax, or legal advice. Views expressed concerning specific securities are not to be considered an offer to buy or sell. Investment advice and financial planning services can only be given after a thorough analysis of an individual situation, an engagement of services to be offered, and only in states where Holland Advisory Services is registered or exempt from registering.
Some people say a man is made out of mud. A poor man's made out of muscle and blood. Muscle and blood and skin and bones. A mind that's weak and a back that's strong. You load 16 tons, what do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, 'cause I can't go. I owe my soul.
Welcome to the show that focuses on real people, real problems, and real solutions. This is Real Money with David Holland.
It is hard not to smile when you hear that song. Tennessee Ernie Ford, ladies and gentlemen. Love that music. Welcome to the show. Do you have your New Year's resolutions all nailed down? Do you know what you're going to do to make 2012 a better year than 2011? Scott Connor is with me today. And Scott, do you have any New Year's resolutions for us?
I had a terrific 2011.
You did.
I really did.
You told me you got a few more gray hairs.
I did that, yeah. But I had a good year overall. So if I can keep my trend in place, I'll be happy with
That'll be good.
Yeah.
Well, we're going to get right to our...
The Fastest 5 Minutes in Finance.
That's good stuff. Scott, what do you have for him?
Well, Tuesday's market was a pretty good market to start the year off. The Dow was up 179 points, S&P up 19 points. Commodities were up. Gold was up almost $40 on the ounce. Kind of a reversal of last year. The markets were led on Tuesday by financials and dragged down by utilities, which is the opposite of what happened in 2011. Still a lot of concern over what's going on in Europe and some of the crisis there. Over the weekend, the European leaders, President Sarkozy, Chancellor Merkel from Germany, British Prime Minister Cameron, all came out and said in their New Year's addresses, listen, people, we still have a lot of problems. Just because the calendar has turned here doesn't mean everything's solved. So it is kind of a reset of the mindset, but all the problems that existed last year still exist this year.
So Greece, anything there?
Well, I mean, nothing solid. Greece has got real, problems. Their problems have not gone away. They still have huge austerity to implement. The people still have to accept it. There's still massive debt.
It seems like, though, that it's kind of receded to the background a little bit, and the focus right now is all about, France, Germany, being basically the shift has gone from the problem child now to how the parents are going to be able to pay for it or deal with it.
Yeah, I think we're talking about the difference between a broken finger and a hand being cut off, because most of the eyes right now are on Italy, because their 10-year rates have gone above 7%. So the Greek problem was really the first one to the front door, but now that the front door is open, some of the followers are scarier than Greece.
Because they're bigger.
Because they're much bigger. Italy is huge.
Not that they have larger problems, it's just that they're just more massive.
Yeah, I'd say Italy's problem is more solvable than Greece's problem, but it's a much, much, much bigger problem, so it's that much more important that it becomes solvable.
And are we still hovering around the 7% yield on their 10-year treasuries?
7% on 10s. Now, they have a bunch of auctions upcoming, so we'll see what kind of refinancing they get. They could shorten the durations, and if we start to get lower yields, it's like a person. If they're paying a mortgage that's 3%, it's a lot easier than paying a mortgage that's 7%. So we want to see much lower yields to try to help sort of stabilize everything that's going on over there.
And you said gold's on the rise again?
Gold's on the rise again. It sold off quite a bit in December. Actually, gold was only up 10% on the year last year, from the beginning of the year to the end of the year. Now, in between there, we set a couple of records, and we were all the way up to $1,800 an ounce. But by the time the year was over, it was only a 10% gain.
Now, from a technical standpoint, there was enough of a pullback to give gold a correction?
Yeah, I think so. I mean, we were in the 1500s for a while.
Okay, so that the definition is about a 20% pullback, yeah, gives us a correction.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yep. So gold is back on radars. Copper was up significantly today, which had a pretty good sell-off throughout most of the year last year.
And copper's a very good indicator. It's a leading indicator?
Yeah, it's a leading indicator, primarily because when emerging companies are growing like China and countries like that, they need a lot of copper. So what that shows, a falling price of copper shows a falling demand for copper.
Well, there are reports out that manufacturing, the numbers are up. I read,
domestically, yeah.
Yeah, we had, what was it? Manufacturing was up pretty substantially.
On the ISM,
November.
You're talking about the ISM number that came out on Tuesday. The ISM number is the Institute for Supply Management. It's a survey, what they call a diffusion index. So they go out and they just survey all these manufacturers. They index that through a process. Anything above 50 is seen as expansion. Anything below 50 is seen as a retraction. And the number actually was a number for December, came out at 53.9. So that's a pretty good number.
And that was the fastest pace, the number you gave was the fastest pace of manufacturing growth in 6 months.
Yeah.
So that's, I mean, that, you know, we always are trying to get some perspective of what we hear about some of the doom and gloom with looking at some of the, obviously some of the positive results. And this may give us some idea of what to expect for 2012.
Yeah, I think there's quite a bit to like on the domestic economy 2012. Also on Tuesday, a construction number was released by the Commerce Department. It said construction spending for the month of November increased by 1.2%. Economists were expecting an increase of about 0.5%. So that was a pretty good number, too. We've seen the jobs numbers that we get on Thursdays have been getting better and better and better. So, you know, we'll just hope that this trend continues. Unfortunately, we are in a very, very global marketplace. So what happens in Europe really has an impact on what happens here. We can't just isolate ourselves and say, well, everything's terrific here, so good luck overseas.
I think a lot of times since we talk so much about the different pieces of the European Union, and we're talking about Germany today and what's going on with Germany and how they're having to support, quote unquote, the rest of the economic union, or what's going on with France or Greece, all these different pieces. But when we look at it in total, one of the things that often we forget is as we consider what the impact might be of what happens in Europe to us here in the United States, is it's real easy to forget that when you put it all together, it's actually larger than the United States economically. Yeah. Their total economy is about $16 trillion, just shy of $16 trillion each year.
Yeah.
That's a lot of stuff.
And what they don't have is a central government. They really can say, listen, I know the North likes this or doesn't like this, and the South likes this or doesn't like that, but I'm the guy at the head making a decision. They have to do all this stuff by committee, and the cultures between the North and the South are so vastly different.
Well, we'll come back after the break, and we'll talk some more about this.
Certified financial planner David Holland wants to know, what's your dream? Play golf every day of the week? Turn that hobby into a new career? With the right allocation of your resources and careful planning, you can make it happen. We look at your current financial situation and prepare a customized plan to help you reach your goals, whatever they may be. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your no-obligation consultation. David and his team want to help take the first step towards making your dreams a reality. For more information, call 888-747-PLAN or go to davidholland.com.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit HalifaxUrbanMinistries.org to find out how you can help, or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
My name is Dale Pazinski, and this is how I live United. I volunteer with United Way, helping the homeless in my community by teaching computer skills and helping them build a basic resume. It's huge when somebody says, that job that you helped me apply for, I got it. My name is Dale Pazinski. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United.
Go to liveunitedinvolutiaflagler.org. Brought to you by the United Way and the Ad Council.
Wouldn't you love to have a guide on the world of personal finance that cuts through all the bull and answers your questions honestly and directly? Certified financial planner David Holland is pulling back the curtain on how to plan for your financial future with his first book, Confessions of a Financial Planner, Secrets to a Secure Retirement. Filled with David's practical insights from 20 years of industry experience, secrets, answers, complicated financial questions in terms that are easy for anyone to understand. Order your copy today at David Holland. Or by calling 888-747-PLAN. Ask how to get your copy at no charge.
Okay, Scott, so let's give a quick recap of 2011, and then I'm going to put you on the spot and ask you about your prediction for 2012. Let's look at some hard numbers real quick. The Dow Jones Industrial Average was up about 5.5%.
Yeah.
And you mentioned gold before the break. Gold was up about 11%.
Yeah.
The S&P 500 was flat. It was actually slightly negative. Now, we're not talking about dividends. We're only talking about the market
price.
Index.
Right.
Okay, so the S&P started and ended pretty much the same place for 2011. So all that volatility.
Yeah.
I mean, usually, you know, usually when you see volatility, you know, part of the deal, that's the risk that everybody's concerned about. That's our measure of risk. And so you expect to be rewarded for that risk. There was no reward.
Yeah, and you could even compress that down to a shorter time frame. Basically, it was August sell-off, September continued sell-off, October recovery. So it was really, I mean, most of the market was held in those 3 months there. And it was all based on European fears, basically.
So things really rose to the top on the European side and said, okay, everybody said, that's it. And that's where all the sell-off came.
Yeah, and you know, interestingly, what's interesting to me about this year is that even though our markets were nothing stellar, we actually had the best equity markets in the world this year, which very, very rarely happens. If you look at the other major indices, the Brazilian index was down about 18%, Italian index 29%, Japanese index, remember they had to fight off that result of the earthquake that they had, down 17%. Even the Chinese index, with all their economic growth, down almost 22% on the year.
Isn't that amazing? And on the other part of the investing world, bonds.
Yeah.
Bonds, overall bond aggregate was up about 7% for the year.
Yeah, and because we saw rates plunge.
So when rates go down, for our listeners, you know, when rates go down, that's when we see the value of the bonds going up.
Right, bond prices go up. So our 10-year, we talked about Italian 10-years at 7%. Our 10-year has been hovering right around 2%, which, I mean, it's hard to imagine lending anybody money for a 2% return, especially a country like ours who had recently had its credit downgraded.
Yeah, you're real happy about that, I can tell.
Yeah, but still, the investing economy sees us as the safest haven in the world.
Which is why the rate is only 2%.
Right.
Yeah. And so we see kind of, but I think the thing that's really important here, when we look at 2011, you know, either people's returns may be all over the place, you know, in terms of what they actually experienced individually.
Right.
But I think there probably hasn't been in recent time, even looking back to 2008. In 2008, everything was bad.
Right.
I mean, everything was just, it was just tough. But 2011 really makes a strong argument for the whole diversification thing, you know, and managing your risks, because you've got bonds doing well, treasury protected securities did well, gold did well, even though you had a pullback for the during the year, you still managed to end the year positive. So this is why you want that mix.
Well, and even if we look, even if we take a more micro viewpoint of that, if we look at the domestic equity markets, we talked about the Dow and the S&P 500, which are the large cap indices. But the mid-cap index was down 3%. The Russell 2000, which is the small-cap index, was down almost 5.5%. So it's important to diversify even within those areas.
Yeah, so you shouldn't have all your money in just large-cap stocks or all in small caps. It's just got to be diversified.
Yeah, and you're right in that 2008, everything went down, which is really an anomaly in that there was no value in correlation. But I think we're back to sort of that tried-and-true diversify your assets portfolio.
Don't put all your eggs in one basket.
Yeah. Right.
Yeah, because it was really a, really, it was just such a topsy-turvy market year that having that diversification, and we saw this with our own clients, that it really helped to stabilize the portfolios. Now, I said right after we came off the break that I'm going to ask you your prediction. So for 2012, knowing all of what you know, Scott Connor,
yeah,
CFA,
yeah,
CFP, CHFC, what is your prediction for 2012 for the stock market? You can pick the Dow, you can pick the S&P 500, whatever your pleasure is.
I think that we have enough sustainable momentum in the domestic economy that we can pull out a positive year this year. I don't think we're going to pull out a gangbuster year because we'll still have a lot of headwinds from Europe.
So no double digits?
No, I don't think so. Okay. I don't think double digits, but I do think that a great salve for the domestic investor will be that I think we'll see a bottoming of housing prices finally.
Well, I read that recently here. In fact, it was in the... Where is it here? Okay, it was in USA Today had a report out that said that housing sales agreements, not actual house sales, but sales agreements to buy new homes or homes rose 7.3% in November from October. So we saw 7% month over month gain in November. They don't have the December data yet.
Yeah,
but
those
that's
are not
pretty
completed contracts. It is encouraging. The problems in the housing market, the plus in the housing market is that interest rates are going to stay low. That really, really, really helps.
Oh, it's huge because you can buy more home for the same payment.
Yeah, that's right. But the problem in the housing market is that I see a lot more foreclosures actually coming to pass, actually being foreclosed on by banks rather than being written out on the books for an extended period of time, because they have to get those things off the books.
So you're seeing, you think there'll be a continued flooding or dumping of those homes onto the market, which is going to continue to suppress the price.
Yeah, up to a point, though. I think we really are starting to reach the sort of the bottom of the U-shaped housing market here.
Well, so your prediction is positive. You want to go with a number?
On the S&P, yeah. let's say S&P gets a little bit less volatile, I'll say up 6.5%.
All right, I'm going to go 8.
And this is not being recorded, right?
I'm going to go a little heavier. I'm going to go with 8%.
Okay.
All right, so that's a good prediction.
That falls in line with our pattern of me being a little bit more pessimistic than you.
Well, you know what? A lot of people think I'm cynical or skeptical, and I say no. Scott's cynical or pessimistic, but no, it's important to be thinking about this as we get into the new year. And there's so many things that obviously and other issues that are coming up. And when we come back from our next break, we'll get into some of the other things that can affect people's portfolios in 2012.
Is your portfolio running on all cylinders? Do you sometimes feel like you're spinning your wheels with your current investments? Certified financial planner David Holland is ready to roll up his sleeves and help you get your retirement up and running again. Making smart decisions with your money can be intimidating in today's economic climate, but making no decision at all can be even worse. It may be time for a financial tune-up, balance, and rotation. Call 888-747-PLAN to schedule your free 19-point investment inspection. Doesn't your retirement deserve the full-service treatment? For more information, call 888-747-PLAN or visit us on the web at davidholland.com.
A message from the Council on Aging, trusted by seniors for more than 40 years.
There's no place like home. Introducing COA Housekeeping, a housekeeping service for people who love their homes. That includes busy working people, retirees, and people helping a retired parent or loved one. COA Housekeeping cleaners are licensed, bonded, and background checked. They're courteous. They're good listeners. They speak up. They're fast. And they leave everything in its place. COA Housekeeping is perfect for busy people of any age. But as a service of the Council on Aging, its housekeepers are specially trained in cleaning the homes of seniors. After all, at any age, there's no place like home. A clean home. For more information, call 258-6335. That's 258-6335. COA Housekeeping is a service of the Council on Aging, a nonprofit organization with very clean offices.
Wouldn't it be nice to learn more about a financial topic from the comfort of your own home? You bring the popcorn and certified financial planner David Holland will bring the answers to your financial questions. David's DVD, Seven Deadly Sins of Retirement Planning, reveals common mistakes you may be making when planning your financial future. Learn how taking the right steps now may help you enjoy inflation-adjusted retirement income later. This free DVD will quickly show you that financial planning doesn't have to be hard, complicated, or stressful. Call 888-747-PLAN to request your free copy of Seven Deadly Sins of Retirement Planning today, or go to davidholland.com.
Okay, we're back. Before the break, Scott, we're talking about kind of running down the numbers from 2011 and how the market did, and we talked about there being a tremendous amount of volatility. Can you recall, really off the top of your head, a year that was this volatile as what we saw in 2011? I mean, it's been some time.
Not a volatile year that ended up flat.
Okay.
I mean, that's the amazing part to me.
Because 2008 was quite a ride as well.
Yeah.
And I mean, people don't have to scratch their heads too much to think through that and say, yeah, we had a really rough ride back in 08.
Yeah, and 2009 was really volatile too, but once it reversed and started coming up, it didn't stop. So we actually had a pretty good year that year. But all that volatility and to be flat.
Very frustrating.
It's all, yeah, it was
and
difficult.
And very
market.
Difficult for financial advisors or for people trying to make a bet, if you will, making a big play in one direction or other. And you didn't hear very much in the news about day traders or market timers, because trying to time this market for 2011 was nearly impossible.
Yeah, my philosophy on a market like this when we're investing client funds is that you have to protect risk first. So when things really, really start getting crazy, you owe it to your clients to protect them, because you don't know which way it's going to go. That big drop-off we had in August could have just been the first leg, as we saw, you know, the last time when things fell.
Well, and obviously the cost of that strategy could be that you miss out on a little bit of the upside.
Right.
Well, most of the people I talk to in dealing with clients is they say that's okay. I'll miss a little bit of a market going, you know, crazy in 1 month. If you can just protect me on the, you know, on the downside, so to speak.
Right, and particularly when you work with as many retirees as we do.
That's exactly right. And you know what else is speaking of kind of downside, one of the things we mentioned, the USA News had a couple reports out, and this was very interesting. I grabbed this, and I was like, wow, I didn't realize it had gotten this low. 5-year CDs. Okay, 5-year CDs. You know, we've been talking about on the show back in December. We were talking about 5-year CDs being around 1.5% as kind of the average. Well, they've dropped even further. Now we're looking at just over 1% for a 5-year CD.
Yeah, it's really pretty remarkable, and that actually translates into what we saw a lot of the market in 2011. The number one performing sector was utilities. Utilities traditionally pay a dividend, 3%, 4%, 5%. So do you want to take some risk in a utility stock, which is, you know, less risky than most of the market, and get 3%, 4%, 5%, or do you want to take no risk and get, you know, virtually nothing?
That's also something else I wanted to make sure we got to is, the thing that people may be wondering, well, if the S&P 500 was flat, but the overall the Dow, the 30 of the stocks that represent the Dow was up 5.5%, why the difference? And I think one of the differences, I'm going to answer my own question. You just have to listen, Scott.
Terrific. I love that.
but I want you to give me your take on it, is that I think part of the difference is that the Dow stocks are dividend-paying stocks.
Yes.
And so part of what happened with people seeking yield in a low-yield environment when CDs are 1%, again, I'm talking about a 5-year CD maybe being 1 to 1.2%, and utility stocks and other things not paying that much, 10-year treasuries paying 2%, that there is a bidding up, a jacking up, a bidding war, if you will, people willing to pay more for those Dow stocks, which caused the Dow to go up because people are trying to get that yield.
Yeah,
does that make sense?
It definitely does, and the dividends have had a huge part on determining which stocks did well in 2011, which ones didn't. The other thing, I'm going to get technical on you here.
That's okay, go ahead.
In the Dow, is that it's a price-weighted index. So if you look at the two best-performing stocks in the Dow, it's McDonald's at $100 a share, IBM at $183 a share. Since it's a price-weighted index, those expensive stocks have a lot more impact than the two worst-performing stocks, which are Alcoa at less than $9 a share, and Bank America at $5 a share.
Good point. Because it's not an equal weighting of 30 stocks, each getting up 3%.
Right.
It's price-weighted, means each dollar share is how you arrive at the total value.
Right. So okay. Alcoa is down 43%, Bank America down 58% on the year, McDonald's up 31%, IBM up 25%. Even though those numbers are smaller from a growth perspective, they had a lot more impact on the Dow than Alcoa and Bank America because the way the index is structured.
So for people listening, they hear all of this going on and kind of where we were and some of our predictions about where we're going forward. We don't think that volatility is going to go away. It's not like you said at the beginning of the show. It's like 2012. We get to get a new calendar. I love to get a brand new calendar. It's like, you know, it's kind of like refreshing. You know, you get that new calendar, you get put your dates in there.
Yeah.
But you don't get to put no stock market volatility for 2012.
Yeah, not unless the European problem goes away. Really, that is the headwind of headwinds right now.
Well, it's not only a headwind, it's just we don't know. It's we don't know if all of a sudden we end up in the middle of a perfect storm.
Right.
We just don't know what it may look like. We're in that boat, but we don't have radar as it relates to that. So
yeah.
If that's the case, then what should people be doing? Well, we need to be in a big boat.
Yep.
We make sure we're diversified. And like the ancient merchants used to do, you put your cargo on more than one boat when you send it across the ocean.
Yeah, absolutely. Diversification from the very start. So, you know, but I do think those old tried and true axioms and traditional investment philosophies are going to serve clients the best going forward.
Well, even the best pick stock, you know, you see people, some of the TV personalities, and they have TV shows, and they, you know, they're going to tell you to pick this stock or buy this stock and buy that stock. And then you look a year later, and maybe they hadn't done that well.
Yeah.
So, you know, picking stocks, individual stocks, and again, this is an entire industry on television 24/7. You see the cable outlets, it's all day long. They're talking about buy this, buy that. Here's what you need to be doing. But, you know, putting all your eggs in one basket, boy, that's a really tough call.
Yeah, big difference between trading and investing. There's a big difference between stock investment, mutual fund, and ETF investment. Some are safe, some are not. It's all a matter of how you put them all together.
Okay, well, we'll come back from another break and continue.
Many people invest without ever knowing what they pay in investment fees. When was the last time you dropped your car off for service and told them to fix whatever they want without getting an estimate first? I'll bet never. Why treat your portfolio any different? Certified financial planner David Holland and his team are ready to help. Schedule your free 19-point investment inspection, and we can tell you exactly what you're paying in investment fees. Schedule your free consultation today by calling 888-747-PLAN. That's 888-747-7526. Or visit us on the web at www.davidholland.com.
My name is Ruth Roosie, and this is how I live United. I read to children as part of United Way's education program. It helps them create links between language and literacy and prepares them for a better academic future. I figure I have the time and they have the need. My name is Ruth Roosie. I don't just wear the shirt, I live it.
Give, advocate, volunteer. Live United.
Go to liveunitedinfelluciaflagler.org. Brought to you by the United Way and the Ad Council.
9 cents. That's it. 9 cents is all it takes to feed a person if you donate wisely. Have you ever been approached on the street or the side of the road by somebody asking for a couple of bucks and thought, where's my money going? Well, when you choose to donate to Halifax Urban Ministries, that same $2 can buy 20 meals and will be used to win the fight against homelessness. I am a proud supporter and I want to encourage you to put your money towards something real. Visit halifaxurbanministries.org to find out how you can help or call 386-252-0156. 386-252-0156.
David Holland's newly released book, Secrets to a Secure Retirement, is the first in his innovative series, Confessions of a Financial Planner. This book is written to provide easily accessible information to anyone from any walk of life on a wide variety of topics concerning personal finance. You won't find industry jargon, difficult theories, or condescending commentary in this confession series, which aims to give readers the knowledge and power to build their financial future. Order your copy today at davidholland.com or by calling 888-747-PLAN. Don't forget to ask how to get your copy at no charge.
Okay, so where we left off before the break is we're talking about really what does all this mean for people getting into 2012? I mean, what you say, what are you going to do? What am I going to do with my money in 2012 that I didn't do in 2011 or 2010? And really, it's about making sure that you're positioned properly for the market. You know, one of the things that we see a lot is that, and when we've seen this, Scott, is it, fortunately, doesn't happen a lot. But there are people that sometimes will make their investment choices based on what the market's doing today.
Right.
And really change their whole strategy. And we've seen this occur. Fortunately, it doesn't happen very often. But we've had a few situations where people have invested a certain strategy. For example, let's say that they've decided to take a growth approach. So that's going to mean that we're going to have a mix of stocks, bonds, primarily through mutual funds and ETFs, electronically traded funds.
Yeah, but higher on the risk scale.
Higher on the risk scale, we're going to have more in the equity side or in stocks, again, through mutual funds primarily, versus having it in a bunch of bonds.
Right.
And we've seen people start out maybe saying, hey, I want growth,
yeah,
either because they want to rebuild because of those losses in 2008 or they didn't do that well in 2011. Or they say, hey, I just need my money to grow. And they want to take that risk. But then when the market does what it did, like we talked about earlier, it pulls back in August. Then all of a sudden they say, hey, oh, wait a minute. I'm not willing to take that kind of risk. So it's a funny thing. I think it's just part of the way humans think. It's the way we react emotionally is that when things are going really well, we want all the risk we can get
right,
because we perceive that to be all on the upside. Now, I want that volatility because we think it's all volatility up.
Yeah.
All the up parts of the chart. But then when it tanks, then all of a sudden people say, hey, I want to go to cash or I want to go to your, give me your most conservative strategy, Scott.
Yeah. I mean, really what you're talking about is a strategy built on fear and greed. And neither one of those two things is the proper way to build a portfolio.
I'm glad to say this doesn't happen very often because we do a real good job of getting people to understand the amount of risks they're comfortable taking and building an overall plan. But
yeah.
I can think of one particular gentleman, which I won't name, but just a situation where when the market in 2008 took a hard hit, he said, I want to go to cash. And it was at probably one of the worst times you could go to cash. And we pretty much begged him not to do that. But again, he just wasn't able to stick with it. And so in doing that, he kind of went to cash at the worst time.
Yeah.
And then when the market came back up, he wasn't in.
Right.
And so those losses then became permanent.
Yeah.
And that's very difficult. That's very difficult to deal with that, because then and you basically end up being in a position where you're, it's almost like you're hoping the market pulls back so you can get back in, you know?
Yeah, you have to determine your risk tolerance over good times and bad. You can't have two different risk tolerances.
Well, one of the other things, too, that gets people in trouble is they don't have an emergency fund.
Right.
And you cannot look at the money that's in the stock market as your emergency fund. I mean, it just won't work, because you might have to pull out at the worst possible time. You don't want to have to sell your car to come up with cash,
yeah,
to pay a bill, because then you don't have the car to drive.
And cash is an asset class.
That's true.
From an investment standpoint.
But
so
not just as an investment, but what I'm talking about is people need to literally, and I've do this with people, as we literally will go through the math of saying, okay, how much risk do we have in our situation? How much can go wrong with our financial situation? How much is my health insurance deductible? How much is my car insurance deductible? What if I need to fix this or that? And just add all that stuff up so you know how much you may have to have on hand. And these are some basic things, but it's real easy for people to overlook them. So
and that way, if everything goes wrong, you're still covered.
Exactly. So this is what we need to be looking at, ladies and gentlemen. Thanks for tuning in and listening to us today. Be sure to tune in tomorrow to Real Money with David Holland.
You load 16 tons.
This has been another edition of Real Money with David Holland. Thank you for listening, and we'll see you next time.
You load 16 tons. What do you get? Another day older and deeper in debt. St. Peter, don't you call me, cause I can't go. I owe my soul to the company store.